Well, hello everyone and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are from Third Space, and this is the 294th time that we have sat here on a Sunday morning over these last 5.5 years, Lizzie, to read together and then to talk together in what anyone who's been with us more than a week or so will know is an unfolding and very deliberately unrehearsed spontaneous conversation that arises from a source that we choose each week. And Lizzie, thank you so much for the source that you've brought for us this week, which I've really needed this week. It's been such a great gift to me. So we're so pleased to welcome all of you, some of you who've been with us faithfully week in, week out, all the time for these 5.5 years that we've been in this conversation, and many of you who we know come across us by one way or another, and maybe you've just found your way to us. So whether you've just found your way, whether you've been with us a long time, whether you're with us live, as some people are in our Facebook group on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. UK time, or whether you're listening on a podcast or on our turningtowards.life website, or however you found your way to us, and whenever, you are so welcome. And I'm feeling very welcomed too, Lizzie, by this practice that we have, which is an endless source of holding and possibility and aliveness and connection. So I know that you and I would do this even if nobody else was with us, even though there are many, many, many people with us. That's a great gift to have, a practice that's of value for its own sake.
It really is. And I want to thank everybody for being here, because even though we would do it if nobody was here, Justin, I feel like it brings power to the practice that other people are here with us. We might not do it as regularly, we might not do it as predictably, and I just feel grateful for that support, really, the support that we have by people being present to this, that has me scrabble around every Sunday morning and get myself here, whether I have to put a jumper on over my pajamas as I have done today, or actually get dressed and have a shower and sort my life out in order to be here. I feel really grateful that everybody comments. We know that people are listening, that we know people are here, so that it keeps us in the game when we might be feeling a bit down and out and not wanting to or whatever. And it also brings up for me this dynamic of so many times when I'm not feeling great, or I'm cross or angry or whatever's going on, the last thing I want to do is to step into a thing like this. And yet it's the very thing that would serve me the best. And I experienced that so much. And, you know, recently I turned up to a group that I was hosting, and I just said, I'm just a mess. I'm just angry. And everything is going wrong, and I don't know what to do and everything. And I felt so held that I had gone, and it was so close to me just saying, sorry, I can't do this today. I'm not able. And yet I did it, and it completely brought me through the thing I was in, because it met me rather than me just carrying on in my funk. It actually met me there and allowed me to be in that kind of set of boundaries with other human beings, where I got to say things and got to be heard. And I was so grateful that those things exist. And this is one of them, that even if I'm feeling down and out and not able, as you said before, like you're feeling welcome, I feel welcome here. And like, I don't have to be perfect or on my game or anything. And more I feel able to turn up in my messiness, that then allows something to shift rather than, and have the practice support me rather than something I have to turn away from because I'm just not ready, or I'm not okay enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not all of that kind of thing. I'm feeling a surge of love for these kind of practices that welcome us however we are. And I suppose I want to extend that to everybody listening as well, Justin, like however you are today, you're so welcome here. You know, you don't need to be ready for us. You don't need to be sane. You just need to be here and see what you can receive from this conversation as we're doing each time. So this is a wonderful poem by the incredible Julia Fehrenbacher. And you can just go to juliafehrenbacher.com and find the wonders of her work in the world. And Julia, you may be listening even, and I want to say thank you to you for sharing and gifting us this channel of love, or something I want to call it, that you have access to. It's so beautiful, and we're really grateful to have been sitting with this poem since you posted it, and just a big thank you. So this is called One Stubborn Layer at a Time by Julia, and it goes like this. Peace finds me today, meets me in the clear waters of poet's words, in the distant call of morning dove, in the bursting buds of the old mossy oak. Even the black fly is an almost welcome visitor, its relentless buzz challenging me to meet it again and again. It flies close up to my eyes and asks, even this? The young men painting the house next door play their festive music and sing and sing. They sing as if not a thing in the world hurts, as if this singing moment is guaranteed. Or maybe they sing because there's so much hurt in the world and none of it is guaranteed. I love how, for once, I feel no need to justify this not doing. This not doing afternoon, spent cradled in hammock's kind lap, pen and notebook close for when words decide to come. And when they do, I catch one at a time, like a child catching snowflakes on her tongue. I say thank you for each one. For what else but words point me back, show me how to, one stubborn layer at a time, undress myself, how to dive naked into the clear waters of what's here.
Thank you, Lizzie. It's such a gift to hear you read Julia's words. Thank you for reading so beautifully. One stubborn layer at a time. Peace finds me today, meets me in the clear waters of poet's words, in the distant call of morning dove, in the bursting buds of the old mossy oak. Even the black fly is an almost welcome visitor, its relentless buzz challenging me to meet it again and again. It flies up close to my open eyes and asks, even this? The young men painting the house next door play their festive music and sing and sing. They sing as if not a thing in the world hurts, as if this singing moment is guaranteed. Or maybe they sing because there is so much hurt in the world and none of it is guaranteed. I love how, for once, I feel no need to justify this not doing. Afternoon spent cradled in hammock's kind lap, pen and notebook close for when words decide to come. And when they do, I catch one at a time, like a child catching snowflakes on her tongue. I say thank you for each one. For what else but words point me back, show me how to, one stubborn layer at a time, undress myself, how to dive naked into the clear waters of what is here.
Ah, oh, thank you, Justin. It's such a thing to be read to, and to kind of let Julia's words become my imagination as you're reading them. And feeling this transporting or something. Like, I don't know where Julia lives or what the scene looks like, but I've made my own of it. Like, I've just made my own version of the hammock and the builders singing and the fly coming. And I feel kind of transported into a world where this kind of presence is possible and allows me to kind of have a go at it, to be that non-justifying of just being somewhere and receiving everything on offer, like the birds singing and the sunlight bouncing off this piece of paper next to me and the small sound of the wind I can hear. So I feel like this is an incredible invitation into a kind of presence that feels like I can put everything down, and that is profoundly valuable. This whole part of not needing to justify the not doing, bless you, and to allow what's here to find me. Like, I feel like the thing that this poem doesn't have is any kind of sense of seeking, but a sense of allowing. Rather than me going and getting something, it's like me receiving what's already here for myself so that I can let life wash through me and do this thing that Julia's inviting us to do of diving into the clear waters of what's here. How glorious to be with what's here, instead of all of the things in my mind of what I need to do or what needs to happen or what if that happened, and when this goes on, what will that be like? And if I met that person, you know, the wondrous cacophony of bonkersness on the inside of me has to have a rest and be open to receiving this beauty that Julia's talking about, which is not anything but an ordinary moment of listening to some people painting a house, singing, and there being a fly there and a notebook and a pen. So I'm feeling very invited into this kind of presence that Julia's talking about, at least the way I'm receiving it. And the line, I think my favorite line, is like a child catching snowflakes on her tongue. Like, there's something about that for me that when I find the part of me that has done that, and actually there's a book I'm reading with Vesper at the moment, who's three, and this little girl walks along with her mouth open, catching the snowflakes. And it's such a kind of magical image. And I feel like the line also welcomes a kind of orientation of magic into our lives, that there's a magicalness that we can, that can find us if we're present in this beautiful invitational way that Julia is talking about.
It's very good listening to you talk about this, Lizzie. And I'm struck, lots of things going on for me, but one is what you said about the privilege and the gift of being read to, also the privilege and the gift of being spoken to honestly and truthfully and straightforwardly. So it's a wonderful thing to sit here and listen to you speak to me and speak to all of us this morning. I'm struck by so much in what you've said and in Julia's words, which I'm just glancing at whilst I'm talking with you, and lots of thoughts, probably only a fraction of which will make themselves available in this time that we have. Mm-hmm. But one thought that I have is that I think that one of the reasons that Julia's words, at least for me, are so powerful and so necessary is that she's writing about, I don't think that Julia's writing about something inconsequential, like some moment which just happens to come and go, that like many moments, I think she's writing about something absolutely essential. And I think it's something essential about who we are underneath all the bonkersness that you talked about. That there's a way, if we're not in the middle of some ongoing calamity that we have to flee from or something, if we're not having to live right in this moment of talking to one another and being in the afternoon of having to run for our lives or keep loved ones safe from danger or something, which some people are. But if we're not in that, how extraordinarily easy it is to live as if in a state of constant lack of something that we're having to fill. All of that, all of the thinking ahead and planning and all of that, which my mind does all the time. Goodness, when I sit quietly, the first thing that I notice is how much habitual trying to take care of things and fill things in and all of that. And it's not that that doesn't have good intention and doesn't have any merit, but as a way to live all the time, it seems to me that it's quite far from something else that we are, which is closer to these two bits in Julia's writing. Singing as if not a thing in the world hurts, and singing because there's so much hurt and none of it is guaranteed. And being in the world in such a way that we get to notice and catch, like snowflakes, what's coming our way. And that way that Julia's talking about is, I think, if we look carefully enough and patiently enough, is very, very close to what we are before we start to add on all of our worries and all of our expectations and all of our comparisons and all of our sense that we have to get something or that we're missing something and all of our, you know, like our attempts to get love because we feel the absence of love, or our attempts to get safety because we feel the absence of safety, or whatever it is, all of the absence places we come from. So when Julia writes about what it is to undress ourselves so that we can dive naked in a sort of straightforward unadorned way into what is here, we find out how much is here of the very qualities that we long for, that we so often seek somewhere else, seek in something else, in some other experience or some other place. So I think Julia's pointing us there. But the other thing that I think Julia's doing is showing us, I feel shown, how often I feel I need to justify the being in contact with the very basic essence of what's here, as if somehow that itself is an abdication of my life, when in fact it may be, in many ways, what is most called for in life. Not, and somehow we've got ourselves terribly, terribly confused about this.
I'm having a moment, Justin, of like, I mean, take big, deep breaths, because I'm feeling this particular appreciation. So like in my system, you have power. Like I respect you, and everything you say, I think, oh, I'm going to think more about that. You know what I mean? Like you're, as you say something, it opens something in me, and I have a kind of unquestionable faith in you telling the truth about something that's often very different to the truth that I've kind of come to myself. And so it grows me to listen and receive from you. And when you said the bit about Julia not writing about like an inconsequential moment in time that she's just describing, because it's fun to describe something, but that she's actually speaking to something profoundly essential about being a human being, I found myself, which is kind of linked to this point about this sense we have of abdicating from our responsibilities by being present and doing nothing and being frivolous and having a moment of like this. It links to that as well. But when you say it, Justin, I think, oh, well, if Justin's saying it, maybe it's true. And of course it is true, because it's Justin saying it. I'm not even sure I'm saying this right as it's coming out, but like the point I'm making is partly to do with the kind of power you hold in my system and maybe other people's systems in the world too. But also I think I'm pointing to the kind of, maybe the kind of even more profound power of, as we say these things to each other in language, somehow we give each other permission to live into the things that we were already knowing were true. But we didn't dare allow that to be the reality. So when we do say things to each other, we can kind of relax into the thing that we had an inkling for in the first place, or that we felt drawn to. So like all the times I feel drawn to like non-doing and feel terribly guilty that I've put a load of stuff to the side that I should be dealing with, I feel like, oh, it's okay, because now we're having this conversation that has a different, I have a different relationship to that now, that maybe I'm attending to something profoundly important about a human life, which is being, and that guilt of not doing the things I should be doing because I'm being can, I don't know, have less of a hold on me or something. So I'm really feeling into the power of this conversation and the impact of Julia not keeping these words just for her private notebook self, but that putting them into the world is really, really important. So I feel like also saying there are some people, and Julia, I'm counting as one of those for me, where, I don't know, in the kind of background of me, I suppose poetry has a kind of a reputation in my system of being like a thing that is really nice or something and really beautiful, and it is. But it feels in this conversation to me like there are certain poets who are profoundly in service of the thing you're talking about, Justin, of the essentialness of being in life. And maybe poetry is like a most speedy, accurate way in to the heart of that. And how wonderful that there are those dedicated to doing that for us, in service of all of us. And then us getting to speak in this way somehow like turns the volume up on that, or like makes more rich and profound the impact that this piece of poetry has on us. So I'm feeling very kind of appreciative and moved by the privilege that you spoke about of us having language and being able to speak to one another and in all these kinds of different ways. But I also want you to know, and all of us to know, how powerful it is when we say things to each other that have truth and depth and kindness and wisdom in them, and how important it is that we are set up to receive that and to do that with one another. And I'm so grateful that that's true.
It's of course true for me, Lizzie, that when you speak, I'm deeply impacted too. And what you say is such a reminder to me of our, I suppose I'm going to call it both the possibility and the responsibility of speaking up. It really matters. And actually, maybe this will be a conversation for another time. I've been deep into the world of trying to understand these new tools that have come into the world that people call artificial intelligence, which is really the wrong word for what they are, which can generate a huge amount of human of language that looks and feels like human language. And one of the things that's very, very clear to me from my reading is while those tools can produce a lot of words, some of which are useful to us for all kinds of straightforward reasons, they can't do what Julia's doing or what you and I are doing, which is to speak from the inside of an experience so as to evoke that experience in another person. I don't think Julia's really describing something, although she is. She's describing a particular day, but what makes this powerful is that evokes in us, it awakens in us a contact with something that is really quite beyond words.
Mm.
And you can only do that, really, if you're a conscious, sentient, feeling being like we humans are. We can do that for each other.
Mm.
And I'm saying it because we're about to enter into an explosion. These tools are going to make an explosion of words in the world. Will be very easy to generate very large quantities of language, some of which will help us, some of us really won't. But we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And poetry really needs to do it. And I also, it also seems to me that
mm-hmm.
Lots of us missed out on the opportunity to learn how absolutely infinitely precious evoking possibilities and experiences for one another is. We learn analytical language or descriptive language, and if any of us had the chance to study poetry at school, we probably would have counted stanzas and analyzed word forms and, you mm-hmm. know, deconstructed mm-hmm. metaphors and everything in Julia's poem. But what we might not have done is really allow ourselves to evoke and awaken in one another the sense of being met by life and opening ourselves to being met by the one life that's right here that Julia is doing and then we're trying to do by talking with one another. And because and that is so important, because without it, without Julia, without this conversation, without the many other conversations in the world where we try to find our way into the underneath of something, the depth of something, we can live our whole lives on the surface of things, grasping and striving and, you know, and all of those things which in some ways help us, that we build houses and we get jobs and we make things in the world, you know, all this, all we do, the dishes and wash the clothes and raise the children, and they all matter. But absent of what Julia's pointing to, they can, all of that life can become a very shallow, desperate kind of life, because we're missing the very thing that's right here that we really need to talk to one another about.
Mm. Well, Justin, I'm so kind of altered by this thing you said about, oh, I don't even know if I can repeat it. The thing that Julia's doing and that we're doing is in some way articulating our inner experience, which is the thing that AI can't do. And that's how possibilities get opened in the world, in our worlds, in our individual worlds, in the collective world. And of course, reflecting on that excellent nugget, I feel like anything I've ever truly learned has been about that, or not about that, because of that. And so the value of people's, other people's inner experience being brought to me through books or poetry or talking or whatever, and having that shape what possibilities exist for me because it's relating to my inner world and what's happening experientially for me, that feels like, oh, that's just what all this is about, what my life is for, kind of thing. I just feel like you saying it that way has shown me something really obvious, which is probably the whole your inner experience impacting my inner experience right there, making a distinction in language that I my system already knows in itself, but I haven't had language for it before. So this whole thing about languaging something on the inside and then what a gift it is to others that they can then language it for themselves somehow liberates the, well, it's liberating something in me to have that language in this moment. I can feel it. So I'm feeling very kind of, I don't know, like what often happens to me when that someone's inner world gets articulated and it shifts mine. I suddenly, in the opening of it, I get really discombobulated and kind of have to go, okay, hold on. I need like 20 minutes. You have to repeat that like quite a few times. I need 20 minutes to just breathe and feel the implications of that. So that's what's happening to me now. It's like, oh dear, my world's slightly disintegrating. My habitual self is a bit like particles in the air or something. Like I feel, what is the word? Like separated out or something. And so I'm really feeling the power of your words towards me in this moment and your interpretation and your way of seeing, but also the relief in me, because of course I'm slightly half listening to this whole artificial intelligence thing while you're delving into literature and doing proper research. But in my half listening to the things people are saying, there's a big piece of me that's terribly alarmed with like, what's going to happen? And is that all right? And, you know, I've got kind of probably very basic questions rather than sophisticated ones like you have of what it should really be called. But when you said that, I thought, oh, okay, so it can't do that. Artificial intelligence can't articulate an inner experience and share it with another human being that then impacts their inner experience. And I can feel myself breathing a little more relaxedly when that's true. And I think that's also the gift of you, Justin, is that you're always translating really hard things that really, really matter to someone like me who I can't read those books that are that thick. And I mean, I can buy them from the shop and then they can sit there for a long time after I read the front page and got overwhelmed. But that you talk about it. And I know I've always said this to you about, you know, the kind of philosophy as well that we've learned, and that you're always able to describe and talk to me about experientially rather than me trying to read a whole book and then not knowing what to do with myself because I didn't really understand it as I was going through anyway. So I just think your way in the world is so ridiculously valuable of being able to speak these complex things into normalness. And I just feel really grateful for that. And your patience and your kindness in doing that. And that extends to poetry and it extends to everything. Just feel really grateful for. And very altered by, and I'm feeling altered in this moment. I think like we're going to sign off of here and I'm supposed to be going back to like normal domestic kerfuffleage. And I'm going to sit here going, now I don't know how to be or live or do anything because I feel really altered, like thrown out of like I've been in the washing machine and someone dipped it all out on the floor or something. That's how I'm feeling. And you're probably going to say it's time to end on that note of me being tipped out of a washing machine.
Well, I'm just going to say thank you. I'm going to say thank you to you for all the ways you bring what's necessary and what's hard to speak about into language and into presence, and to Julia for doing the same. I really don't want to underestimate both the generosity and the gift in someone like Julia, as you said earlier, Lizzie, taking the trouble to do this so that we can benefit from it. And that's somehow what I hope this conversation between us is doing, and what Julia is doing is helping us undo layers of misunderstanding about ourselves in a way, so that we can recover something that we know we always knew was true, but which is so easy to become distant from. And that's what sitting and talking with you does. It's one of the reasons why this practice is so powerful for me, is to keep on doing that, to keep on remembering. It's like a, like we get to remember ourselves. So I think it's your
it's my call to
your
say
job
the
to
time,
end. Yes, yeah, right, not mine.
Well, I will do my job then and say thank you to everybody for joining us. Thank you to Julia once again, a huge big thank you, and to you, Justin, as well, and to the self that turning towards life has become, that we are in service to, and keep turning up and wondering what that being is of turning towards life. And we'll be back next Sunday with one of Justin's choices of a source. And thank you for listening, whether you're on Spotify or Facebook or anywhere else that you managed to find us. We're just very grateful that you're here. And you can always message us if you feel moved to hello at turningtowards.life. That's right, isn't it? I nearly put .com on the end.
That won't work.
So thank you, everybody, for being here. And any messages you'd love to send us, we'd love to receive. And sending our very best wishes to you all. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.